Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I have been pastoring there for 26 years. One of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written long ago connects with our world right now. I am glad you've turned in on your radio to listen this morning. To start your day with God's Word, it's a really good place to start. Of course, if you are not a morning person and you want to re-listen or get a manuscript for this program, you can find us on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are international listeners listening via the internet. We're glad you've found us, and I hope you are finding this ministry and encouragement to you. This program is kept on the air by many faithful people. This morning's sponsor is Sandy Davidson. And Sandy Davidson salutes Christian Counseling Ottawa, CCO. It's a registered charity and has been healing hearts and homes in the Ottawa area for 40 years. I know a number of people who have been helped through their ministry. Thank you, Sandy Davidson, and thank you, Christian Counseling Ottawa, for your faithful ministry. This morning, I want to talk to you about the power of faith. We all have faith. Whether or not you believe in life after death, it is a matter of faith, for neither position can be proven or disproven. Even science has built-in assumptions of the nature of reality, which we have to take on faith. But people who follow Jesus are called to be people of faith and to live by faith. For those of you who follow Jesus, I hope our time together will help you to grow in your faith. For those of you who are not followers of Jesus but are curious about what it means to live a life of faith, I hope that you will learn something this morning. The Apostle Paul mentored a young man named Timothy. For a while, Paul was like a senior pastor in the city of Ephesus, and Timothy was his assistant pastor. Then Paul left the city, and Timothy took over the leadership role of the church. After a while, Paul writes Timothy a letter, and he continues to mentor him. And the letter starts out, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: "When I, Paul, left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussions of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only feed meaningless speculations, which don't help people to live a life of faith in God." In other words, Timothy, your job is to help people to live a life of faith in God. Or other translations have it, your job is to advance God's work, and you do that by faith in God. Paul goes on, verse 5, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith." But some people have missed this whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their times in meaningless discussions. Paul goes on to give us his life's mission statement, verse 5, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith." Timothy, your role is to help people live by faith. And the reason I do what I do is to help believers to be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. I want to pick up on the genuine faith piece this morning. It is faith that advances the work of God. It is our calling to live a life of faith in God. I am convinced that if you are a follower of Jesus and you want to see the work of God advance in your life, then faith will be involved. I'm convinced that if you want to see God's work in and around you, faith will be involved. I'm convinced that faith is fundamental for being transformed into all that God wants for you. I know when we want to deal with problems in our lives, our tendency is to come up with self-help strategies. We will use our intellect and our will and our power to create solutions. But the basis for transformation in the Christian life is faith. We're going to listen to a song by Jeremy Camp. It's called Walk by Faith. Me to Hebrews chapter 11. It starts out by giving a definition of faith. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the confidence about what we hope for. The New Living Translation puts it, faith is confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Faith always has an object. You put your faith in something. This morning when I'm talking about the power of faith, what I'm really talking about is the power of faith in God. I'm talking about the power of God on your behalf that is activated by faith. It is my hope this morning that we are able to take a look at what it means to live by faith, that you will see how your faith can grow and that as you walk into that, and you will experience the transforming power of faith. You know, someone once said that faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need. My hope this morning is that you will get connected to God in such a way that you will find what you need in Him. Now, when I hear Christians talk about faith, they normally talk about it in one of three ways. And it's helpful to understand these three ways because when you know the ways of faith, it helps you to be able to grow in faith. One of the ways that we talk about faith is we talk or refer to ourselves as people of faith. We may not use those exact words, but as you know, in our world, there are people who believe in God and those who don't believe in God. There are people who believe in a spiritual world and those who don't believe in a spiritual world. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We as Christians are people of faith because we believe that God exists. We can't prove that God exists. There is no foolproof method to prove God. There are all sorts of indications that he exists. I think if you were walking through a forest and found a watch, you might infer that there was someone who made that watch. I think if you're walking through this world that you might infer an intelligent designer. But it is possible to believe that it happened by chance, although I tend to believe that that is belief requires a much bigger leap of faith. But we as Christians are people of faith. We choose to believe that God exists. We can't prove that he exists. People can't prove that he doesn't exist either. Now, as Christians, not only do we believe in the existence of God, but we believe that he interacts with our world. Or as the scriptures put it, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God just doesn't set the world in motion and walk away. He is involved in this world. We are people of faith. That sets us apart from people who don't believe in God or don't believe that God is involved in our world. You see, the world looks very different to those who believe in God and those who don't believe in God. People who believe that this life is all there is are different than those who believe that you will be rewarded in the next life for what you do in this life. People who believe in a spiritual reality pray and are thankful and know the object of their thanksgiving and orient themselves towards God. People who don't believe in God have a different orientation. People who believe in God, who reveals himself, take their cues about what is right and wrong from God. Those who don't believe in God take their cues about what is right and wrong from what they value. If they value people, then their views of what is right and wrong, and a person who follows God, views of right and wrong will often align because God values people. Now, if their primary value is money or power or other things, then we will have a different set of views of what is right or wrong. Now, Christians are people of faith. This doesn't make them any more valuable. Lost people matter as much to God as Christians do. People without faith matter to God as much as people of faith do to God. Our faith doesn't make us more valuable. I hope our faith makes us better people. And although I have found this to be generally true, I've not found that to be consistently true. I know great people who don't have faith, and I know some people who have faith who aren't good people, which makes me wonder if they do have faith, but that's a topic for another time. But people who have faith view the world differently than people who don't have faith. And we as Christians think about ourselves as people of faith. You with me so far? The first level of faith is described by our verse. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We believe in God, and he is at work in our world. That gives us a different perspective on the world. It makes us live a different way in this world. That's the first level of faith. The first way that we tend to talk about faith. We talk about we believe in God. The next level of faith, or the next way we talk about faith, is we talk about saving faith. Not only do we believe in the existence of God, but we believe that God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Our faith is centered around the person and work of Jesus. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, came from heaven to earth to show us who God is and what he is like. He also came to make a way that we could enter into a relationship with God. See, God loved us, but our relationship with God was broken by sin. The Bible describes it in various ways, but it was as if we were in a relationship with God, and then we said to him, I'm breaking up with you. I'm going to pursue other loves, other lovers. And that's what our spiritual parents did. They followed in their own footsteps. We loved ourselves. We loved other things. We loved the world with the illusion that they would satisfy. If you've ever been betrayed by someone you love, if you've ever been spurned and dumped and cheated on, then you will know just a little of what we did to God. And God could have just left us. After what we did to him, we certainly didn't deserve anything good from him. But God sent his son Jesus to make a way back for us. He took the guilt from our betrayal on himself, and God gave us his favor. Jesus made a way for us to walk into relationship with God, and God opened up his arms and welcomed us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works so that no one can boast. You are saved by grace, that's God's unearned, unmerited favor. But what puts that grace into action, God offers us this wonderful gift, but what puts that gift into action is faith. See, the gift of having our sins forgiven, having a way cleared that we might enter into a relationship with God, a gift of having God's life in us, the gift of eternal life, God offers this gift to us for free. He says, I want a relationship with you. I want to be in you. But there's nothing that you can do to earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't buy it. It's a gift. The only way that you can receive this gift is through faith. And we have to believe that there is a gift, and we have to believe in Jesus and what he did for us. He died, and he took our sins upon himself. It is his righteousness that is given to us so that we can have a relationship with God. When we trust in him, when we believe in him, when we receive him, we are in fact taking hold of the free gift that he offered to us. Faith in Jesus connects us to all that God wants for us. It connects us to God. It connects us to our life in God. It places us in the kingdom of God. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want to urge you to do that today. Simply pray a prayer like, Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, give me eternal life. I'm going to follow you. It is not the prayer that matters, but it is putting your faith in Jesus that matters. Trusting him connects you to what you need. When you do that, that is the beginning of our spiritual journey with Christ. It is so simple, yet I don't think any of us who follow Jesus have come anywhere close to plumbing the depths of what that means. So as Christians, we tend to talk about the kind of faith, that kind of faith, as saving faith, faith in Jesus. So as Christians, we're people of faith because we believe that God exists and he's involved in our lives. That gives us a very different perspective on life than people who don't believe in God. But now, not only are we people of faith, we are people who have experienced saving faith. The grace of God has been at work in our lives. We have entered into this loving relationship with God. God has put his Holy Spirit in our lives because of the fact that we put our faith in the person and work of Jesus. So we are people of faith, and we have been saved by faith. There's a third way that we tend to talk about faith. We tend to talk about miracle-working faith. We may not use that phrase, but you get the idea. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours." There is a component of faith in answered prayer. James puts it in the negative when he's talking about praying for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." I need to say that miracle-working faith has heresies on both sides of it, and it's hard to hold the middle. You know, some people treat God like a vending machine. If you can just believe enough, then you can have whatever you want. If you can become rich, if you just believe enough, if you just believe enough, you'll be healed. God has to do it if you have enough faith. But I want you to know, God is not a vending machine. You don't drop in the appropriate faith coinage, and then God has to pop out a miracle. But there are people who tend to treat God like that. There are other people who believe that faith and prayer, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't change what God's going to do. All it does is change us. But when it comes to answered prayer, they say, well, faith is irrelevant. But the reality is that faith matters. But it's not the only things that matter. The verses I read talk about miracle-working faith are not the only verses about prayer and faith. I don't pretend to understand why God seems to answer some prayers and not others. I don't understand always how the will of God works and miracle-working faith go together. But I do know that faith is a significant component in answered prayer. Believing that what you pray for will happen is important in seeing it happen. In other words, if you go to God in prayer and you don't believe he's listening, or if he is listening, that he doesn't want to give you what you're asking for, then you're probably not going to get what you're asking for. Believing that God wants to give you what is good is important. But it's not the only thing that's important. Learning to hear God's voice, learning to understand his ways is really important when it comes to answer prayer. Remember when Jesus was in his hometown, and he wanted to help people through miracles, but he was unable to do so because of their lack of faith. I think it's fair to say that God often wants to do more good things in our lives, but he is unable to do that because of the lack of our faith. This morning, I've drawn your attention to three kinds of faith. We're people of faith because we believe in God and a God who works in this world. There's saving faith because we believe in what Jesus has done. There's miracle-working faith, the kind of faith that matters for answered prayers. Paul talks to Timothy and he says, "Your call is to help people grow in faith. If you want to grow in faith, you will need to grow in these three areas. If God is real and active in this world, then growing in faith means to acknowledge and depend on his presence throughout our days. You know, we can live as if God doesn't exist. We can go about our work as if God doesn't exist. We can walk through our day and never talk to him. But part of growing in faith is to remember to practice the presence of God, to remember that God is very present wherever you go, to give thanks and turn our hearts towards him regularly. So we live as if God is very real and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. To grow in faith, we in that way we become more conscious of God in our daily lives. If we're to grow in saving faith, it means that we continue to rely on Jesus for the things that we need to work on in our lives. You were saved by faith, but the Bible also says you are being saved by faith. We are continuing to grow, and we continue to need the work of Jesus in our lives, the work of his Spirit, the work of the power of the cross in our lives to transform us and renew us so that we become more like him. If we're going to grow a miracle-working faith, then we have to ask God for specific things and trust him to work. I recommend that you start small. That kind of faith is like building a muscle. If you haven't exercised in a while, you start where you are, not where you want to be. But I want to urge you to grow in faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each person here that they would grow in faith, that you would allow them by your Spirit to see who you are and recognize you more and more in their daily lives. Lord, as they grow in faith, I pray that they would also grow with a heart tender towards you and others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. I want to tell you about this exciting event that will be happening on Friday, September 30th at 7 p.m. Reverend Ernie Cox, one of the most beloved Christian music entertainers in the Ottawa area, is going to be giving a concert at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. Admission is free, but we will be taking up an offering in support of Good News in the Morning. Mark it on your calendars, Friday, September 30th at 7 p.m. at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. I hope to see you there. If Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in this work. Contact us by email or Twitter via the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And thank you for listening. This program is on the air by God's grace and the donations of many faithful people. Special thanks to Sandy Davison this morning, who sponsored this program in honor of Christian Counseling Ottawa. May the Lord bless you and the work that you honor. If you can help financially, we would appreciate your assistance. You can give by going to the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you could send a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. I want to bless you this morning as we go. May Jesus Christ profoundly and personally impact your lives in such a way that you would know him well. We're going to go out by listening to His Eye is on the Sparrow, sung by the group Sela.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.